This is KBBI Homer AM 890. I'm sorry for the technical difficulties. There was nothing wrong with the radio signal. It was my headphones wiring. So I'm going to get those replaced. Welcome to the coffee table. I'm Kathleen Gustafson. This morning in the studio, there are guests vaccinated and ready to go. From the Independent Living Center, Joanna Geisler. Good morning. Why don't you test that mic for me?
Good morning, Kathleen.
Good morning to you. How about Karen Kelly, Executive Director of Homer Senior Citizens Incorporated?
Good morning, Kathleen.
Oh, I hear you just fine. And Nona Safra, Commission Member for the Alaska Commission on Aging.
Good morning, Kathleen.
Good morning to you. Now, on my clean feed link, it's Lisa Morley, the Executive Director of the Alaska Commission on Aging. Good morning.
Good morning, Kathleen.
Awesome. So thank you all for being here. There's some other guests to come on in the second half hour, but this is how we're going to start. If you have any questions for the panel, you can call 235-7721, or you can email info@kbbi.org, and Matt will send your questions into the studio. So I just want to welcome everybody and say thank you for being here, because a few weeks ago, I got a public service announcement. I got a press release about listening sessions for the Alaska Commission on Aging. And although our sister station, KDLL, did a wonderful story letting people know it was going to happen, I thought we should probably follow up and really talk in depth and use that time. So I want to start with Lisa Morley, who is the Executive Director of the Alaska Commission on Aging, because the listening sessions were a project from your commission. Is that right?
Yes, that is correct. And as you know, over the past year with COVID-19, starting from about March in 2020, all of our senior centers were closed. And we're only doing delivery or drop-off meals or pickup meals. You know, the risk was very great for older Alaskans, anyone over 65. And so, you know, we went into lockdown, and people were isolated. They were scared. We did not know when this was going to end. I know, as a member of the commission, we were doing all of our meetings over Zoom. And then once the vaccine started coming out, Alaska did a really incredible job at getting as many seniors vaccinated as possible. You know, we sent out flyers, we did numbers, we tried to help those who didn't have access to computers, and the registering system was quite kind of confusing. But after a couple months, our numbers showed that about 80% of our 65 and over population had been vaccinated. And so we were working with some of our public health specialists who are also, you know, they take the recommendations from the CDC, and then they help us to communicate those into guidelines for our senior programs. And so we were working on drafting these guidelines on reopening. So how can you reopen and still ensure that your members are going to be safe and these seniors are going to be safe? So these guidelines came out, and right about that time, we were scheduled to do our spring commission meeting, and we thought that it would be a good time to kind of set the lead, if you would, or show people that you know, if you're vaccinated and you follow the safety precautions of wearing a mask when you're indoors and around people, that you can come out and you can see people and you can be safe, but you can still re-enter society. So that was kind of the impetus. It was really our commissioners, you know, thought that we can do this. And we thought that we would go to the Kenai Peninsula. And we had talked to some of the Kenai Peninsula Senior Center directors, and we got a good response from them. And so we wanted to go out there and hear from seniors and hear from the communities. What was it like? What did you learn? What were some great things and what were some things that were really challenging and could have been done better? So we called them listening sessions because we wanted to listen and hear what they had to say.
And Lisa, how was the response? How many people did you talk to?
So,
or listen to, I guess.
we ended up hearing from 73 different, we heard from seniors and providers. So just community members in general. So I thought that was a really great response. We visited 9 different senior centers and community sites, tribal councils. So we really, you know, wanted to, we didn't just want to go to one place. We wanted to hit as many different places as we could. So yeah, 9 senior centers, community sites, 73 different individuals. And we had everyone kind of list out their top 5 things that they wanted us to kind of focus on for the future and some of the needs were. And by far the biggest one was senior housing and availability of senior housing on the Kenai. The cost of assisted living, the fact that there's no real coordinated transportation on the Kenai Peninsula. There's transportation, but it only goes so far. And I've heard many times that seniors aren't quite able to get where they need to go without kind of patching together a taxi voucher and then their private taxi or something else. And they also wanted to hear more information about resources and caregiver support. And then also the concern was about elder abuse and isolation. So I think elder abuse in the sense of self-neglect, possibly seniors who live alone and aren't able to access those services because of isolation or in some places just being remote and not being able to get your driveway plowed. You're stuck in your house.
So Lisa, it sounds like your phone is ringing off the hook in there. I'm going to bring a couple of other people into this conversation and come back to you. Can you stay on the line for a little while?
I can. Yeah. Sorry. Awesome. I just,
oh no, yeah. That's a great opening and explanation. I really appreciate it. But I want to bring Nona Safra into the conversation. She is a board member or a commission member for the Alaska Commission on Aging. And were you participating as a listener or were you giving feedback at this? Were you a part of the listening sessions?
Yes, I was a part of the listening sessions as a commissioner. So my job primarily was there to listen. There were times, because I live here on the Kenai Peninsula, I had input also, because I am on the board of the Anchor Point Senior Center, and I had been a resident there, and we were talking about the high tunnels that went in there for the garden, and at the point that we got the grant, I was the head of the committee that did that, then it was appropriate for me to have input. So there are times where you have to take off one hat and put on another and bring out that kind of input from other people and then let go and go back to being the active listener.
Also, something just came up when Lisa was talking that I should have considered this and had not, that you were wearing 3 hats. Because aren't you, I had forgotten or not considered how many seniors are caregivers for seniors. That it's not, that there is a lot going on where seniors are truly holding each other up. And it would be great if there were a lot more people involved in that. But often it is seniors themselves who are doing the work.
Right. I am a proud caregiver for one of our wonderful elders here in Alaska, and I am his primary caregiver. So I also see what is going on, particularly during COVID, and Karen will be better at addressing that because she deals with it on a higher level than I do. But our direct service provider network is severely broken. There is, I think the workforce should be 7,000. There's a 25% vacancy, which means that there's 1,250 people in Alaska with disabilities or seniors who are not getting their service provider employed there. So with them comes their families. I mean, it's a huge problem of people who are not getting direct service. And a part of it is COVID, and part of it is training, part of it is salaries. So what I do as an advocate is that I, this year, did Capitol Hill visits by Zoom and spoke on behalf of our seniors and our people with disabilities to our senators and our representative in Washington to redo the law that is 55 years old for home and community-based services. And I reminded them that that law is so old that even Don Young wasn't around to pass it.
And, okay, that's old.
Right. And nobody in our Congress voted on it. So it's time to look at it again. So, and that's part of doing advocacy.
Well, thanks so much for that insight. I do want to move on to Karen Kelly, Executive Director of the Homer Senior Citizens Incorporated, because, well, first of all, you just referenced her, and because we had a brief exchange earlier about the Senior Center or Homer Senior Citizens actually having open beds, but not the staff to take care of people. So can you talk a little bit about your experience over the last several months and how, well, you know, as you choose, I don't want to scare you.
Say don't have enough time.
With regard to the way that the Senior Center has been operating, well, the Senior Center itself has been closed.
Correct.
But is it back on yet? And get right into that mic.
We are very close. I really want to do a great shout out to the Kenai Peninsula Borough and the city of Homer for helping keep us afloat during the pandemic. Without their support, we wouldn't have been able to even get to the level we're at. We had to do a lot of infrastructure changes with our facility in order to reopen. And we are almost done with those projects. And so we're looking at it. And we're anticipating first week in June to be reopened.
It things like air circulators? We've got them in every room now.
Yeah. The building itself was built in the 80s, and so they didn't even know what a ventilation system was, I think, back then. And so we had to install it, and it's a very large facility, so it took quite a bit of time to do that. And the resources to do it as well. So with the help of the city and the borough, we were able to meet that need. That was the biggest need. The staffing issue, yes. We typically have been the director here for 10 years, and we have never had a problem with receiving applications for employment. During the COVID highlight, I guess in June, we saw 56% turnover. Whether they were afraid of catching COVID, whether they didn't want the responsibility of feeling the pressure of COVID.
Admittedly, it is an enormous amount of pressure.
It is. It's something we didn't all sign up for, because this was something that we would run the risk of actually hurting somebody, even causing their mortality. So that was a big, huge pressure upon all of us. So we ended up having to send people back home during COVID. And that just broke all of our hearts, mostly because we couldn't find employees to work. Graciously, the Alaska Mental Health Trust Authority provided us with a grant so we could offer a COVID pay differential, which was a very big help. And so that really helped us through the year. We are now at full staff. We have 15 empty beds. We're working on admitting new residents. I want to talk about the mental health issues a little bit. This is significant, and we're going to see it throughout all of the peninsula. And it isn't just the seniors' mental health, it's the caregivers' mental health, it's the support system's mental health. And we're going to start, there is lots of studies out there, and we're going to be addressing that in our senior summit this year, this fall, on the discrepancies of the mental health disparities that we're all going to be experiencing throughout the next year or so. Readmitting yourself back into society is a little bit more of a challenge than anyone could imagine.
Okay, now I want to find out. So you say that you are now fully staffed.
Yes.
And you're readmitting people who may have gone home, and opening those beds up for new people. And I just like to repeat what I've heard to make sure I got it right. And that the senior center, that the social part of things will be opening up pretty soon.
In June. Tomorrow is our annual meeting day, and we're opening it up for vaccinated individuals, because I still have to work on the guidance for how to integrate our residents back into the society. But for the most part, visitation, they are 100% visitation rates right now.
I'm sure that makes a big difference
in
morale.
It has. It's been great. During COVID, if the Church on the Rock so graciously provided us with a $2,500 grant for therapy pets, those were awesome. However, there's nothing beats a loved one's hug and
sure.
smile.
And I wonder if I'm going to move on to Joanna Geisler from the Independent Living Center, but I'll be back for everyone else. Also, I just want to remind you that if you feel like you want to provide, so if you have some insight that you want to just jump right in. But Joanna Geisler, Executive Director of the Independent Living Center, I was just hearing Karen Kelly talk about respite care for caregivers. And then the other thing that made me think of you in the previous conversation was calling on the need for transportation, because you and I have had this conversation before. If there is a group or a individual or a superhero who can solve the problem of transportation in this town, then I will put up the money for a statue of them in the center of town. But Joanna, can we talk a little bit first about the way that services through the Independent Living Center have had to change lately, and what's happening now?
Sure. And just to confirm, I'm not that superhero for the transportation.
We'll get there all together. We'll get there.
Okay. First of all, Independent Living Center, ILC, we have four offices, one here in Homer, Soldotna, Seward, and Kodiak as well. So we, just like everyone else, we kind of closed our doors mid-March of 2020, all went home to work from home, which was interesting in and of itself. I'm sure we all would agree. We didn't think it was going to last as long as it lasted, but it did last that long. We are all back in the office. All of our staff are back in our individual offices. And we are, during that time, we did a variety of different things. We made deliveries to people's homes following all of our safety protocols. We were open to people coming to our parking lot, and we would go down and exchange paperwork or taxi vouchers, which I'll talk a little bit about. Because people, even though people reduced the amount of travel that they did within the community, they still needed to get to appointments or grocery shopping or things like that. So we are slowly moving towards opening or meeting with people individually in the offices for really complex situations like Social Security or other advocacy issues that we work with. And we are doing limited home visits for people who prefer that we come to their home. So it's hard not to get impatient for me anyway, with wanting to just kind of get back to normal, whatever that may look like. But we're moving in that direction. And if I could just kind of segue into a variety of different services that we do. We have probably about 12 different grant programs. In particular, Center for Independent Living, our primary clientele are people with disabilities. However, I looked up some stats, and in the Homer area, we have about 250 individuals that we're providing different services to, and 55% of those individuals are 60 and over and self-identify with having some medical condition or a disability. So we're also an aging and disability resource center, and we provide information and options counseling to individuals who are looking at the continuum of care to either, you know, how people can stay in their own homes and not have to go into assisted living or nursing facility. And so we're kind of the one-stop shop, or as Lisa Morley coined it, we're the front door to senior and disability services. Transportation.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we have had a taxi voucher program here in Homer since, I think, 2001. We started the first one in Kenai-Soldotna area in 1997. So the way that it works is people, there's a limit of the number of vouchers that people can purchase on a monthly basis. People pay, here in Homer, we have local and far out vouchers. We coined that a while back. So people can purchase vouchers and use them with Rider Transport, which is Costas and Catch-A-Cab and Rider Transport. They also have an accessible van. So we also were given federally some CARES Act funds through the Administration on Community Living. So we have purchased vouchers from Rider Transport so that people can get back and forth to medical appointments and to get vaccinated or other kind of emergent needs. And those are free. And I also wanted to mention BUMPS, which the Ninilchik tribe purchased several accessible vehicles, and they run a shuttle between Homer and Kenai three times a week, Monday, Wednesday, and Friday.
And that can be accessed through the Ninilchik Tribal Council?
Yeah.
Or Ninilchik Health Center?
Yeah. Ninilchik Tribe.
Gotcha.
Yeah. And I, well, that's not going to help on the radio, but I did bring a flyer.
Oh, that's okay. We'll take a picture of it. We'll take a photo of it and post it with some photos from this conversation.
Okay. And so it's an incredible gift, I think, to anyone, the public can ride for very inexpensively. One way is $7, a round trip is $10. And again, it's on the Ninilchik Tribe website, the schedule.
Thanks. That's Joanna Geisler from the Independent Living Center. Nona Safra, a commission member for the Alaska Commission on Aging and Anchor Point socialite. Would you mind adding to that?
I would love to. BUMPS also stops in Anchor Point at the Cheeky Moose, which is owned by the tribe. So, which is real helpful because there isn't any real transportation service other than that in Anchor Point. And part of the problem we realized when we did our listening sessions was that though there are taxi vouchers, like to take you home from the hospital, they go 14 miles. And 14 miles brings you to Thurman's Auto Service in Anchor Point. And anything further than that is really technically not covered by the voucher. So it jumps from being a $14 ride to, I think, a $40 ride. So if you live...
That's significant.
Yeah, if you live at the senior center, which is a mile further than Thurman's, it almost triples. So I was shocked when I found that out. And I found out by having to take a taxi ride. I got an ambulance ride to the hospital and I needed a taxi back. Yeah, I was really surprised by the $40 price.
Wow.
So there's a lot of challenges, but I look at them as we have opportunity here to really do things for our seniors and our people with disabilities. And there's wonderful opportunity. And how do we do this as a community?
Right. Even with the good news on transportation, there are mm-hmm. still obstacles mm-hmm. to overcome.
Right. And together we work on these things, and it's fabulous.
Go ahead, Karen Kelly from the...
And I think we're missing a key point. And we've all been talking about the seniors, but you have to have that support network in place. And so a lot of the employees need rides, too. During COVID, we were paying taxis just to get employees back and forth to work. So it's not just the seniors that need this service. It is the entire community that needs this service.
Well, I'm going to get back to that. That's Karen Kelly from Homer Senior Citizens Incorporated, because I wanted to go back in with Nona for a moment. I'm going to check in with everybody on this one. Because respite and support for caregivers and healthcare workers is so important. I'm going to check in with all of you, Karen Kelly from Homer Senior Citizens. What kind of support can you offer your employees?
Well, I'm going to talk about seniors and employees.
Go ahead.
Right now, we have an adult day program which offers respite for caregivers Monday through Saturday. We opened it up all 6 days of the week from 9 o'clock until 3 o'clock. So that is an option for caregivers. We also have respite for 24/7 in our assisted living side. So there's another option. activities that we provide would also be something for individuals to consider. So that's the umbrella we have it currently for our seniors and their caregivers and support network. For employees, you know, we offer 3 weeks a year paid vacation for them to ensure that their mental health and physical well-being is kept in check. And also during our vaccination clinics process, we allowed them to take the second day, the day after each vaccination, off for free because they took the vaccination to protect the residents.
Oh, so those were paid days off?
Yes.
Gotcha. Now, are you going to be able, you said that you got a grant in order to have some hazard pay available mm-hmm. for people who are working during COVID. Are you going to be able to maintain those salaries and benefits?
Right now, those grants have been depleted, and we are waiting for the state legislature to reveal how they are going to disseminate the next round of COVID CARES funding. We're hoping it's infrastructure.
And I'm going to get back to Joanna Geisler in just a moment. Nona, we were talking about respite and support for caregivers, and I was wondering if you were willing to speak personally for a moment about what you find helpful when you're, as a caregiver, like what can help you?
Well, I haven't been very good at this.
It's hard to accept the help.
It's very hard to accept the help. And the way that the plan is set up right now, I only get so many hours a week. And a lot of times when the caregiver comes, my respite care is I get a nap and I don't really get a whole lot accomplished. I am just exhausted. And I find that that's the norm. So I know I'm entitled like to 2 weeks where I can go see my family. But with COVID, you know, that hasn't happened. Karen and I were talking earlier about the fact that with a Medicaid waiver, I could access the day program. So that is something that I can look into because now we move to Homer, and that would be an easy thing to do. So as we come out of COVID, I will be able to look at more of a day-to-day kind of care. But even to come today, I had to find somebody for coverage. And luckily, I have good neighbors who really care about the person I care for. So I'm very blessed.
Karen Kelly?
I want to add that we're a grant-funded adult day program, so even if you don't have Medicaid waiver, we offer a reduced rate for participants. And so definitely give us a call at 235-7655 to take advantage of that. And you can do 1 hour, 4 hours. It depends on it. It's designed to fit your need as a caregiver and the support for your loved one in our facility.
So in just a couple of minutes, we're going to switch gears and bring another person into this conversation, but I want to make sure I get to Joanna Geisler from the Independent Living Center before we change topics about how are you able, or how many people are working through the Independent Living Center, and do you have support and respite care, and what ways can you support your employees?
So we have 17 staff in our four offices. And as an aging and disability resource center, one of our jobs is to talk about what resources and services there are available. So the Homer Senior Center and Adult Day, assisting people to qualify or apply for a Medicaid waiver, senior in-home grants, things like that. I also wanted to mention a program that we started about almost 6 years ago now, Veterans Directed Care, and that is a partnership with the VA, Alaska VA, and veterans. And the veteran is given a budget to manage either themselves or a family member. And more often than, with a Medicaid waiver or personal care services, it's really very specific on what the person can, what the worker can do, how long it takes, things like that. With the Veterans Directed Care, the budget is determined, or the services are determined by the veteran and the family. So more often than not, it's hands-on care needs for the veteran, as well as respite for the primary caregiver, if there is one. So I did want to get that plug in there for veterans who are enrolled in VA healthcare and have some hands-on care needs. Employees, same as Homer Senior Center. I can't remember how many how many paid holidays we have, and a fairly generous personal leave program.
Thanks so much. That's Joanna Geisler from the Independent Living Center. Nona Safra, I'm going to start asking you, because I want to change the topic a little bit. We've been talking about what seniors need this whole 40 minutes. I want to talk about what seniors give. I want to talk about advocacy for seniors, and about you were mentioning the veterans program, it reminded me that you, Nona, do a lot of work with local veterans, and that a lot of there's a lot of overlap in the senior community and the veterans community. But can you talk a little bit about opportunities for seniors to, I have it in my notes here, the seniors led the way in keeping the DMV open. Mm-hmm. They run elections in this borough. There are senior business owners, there are senior employees through the MAST program and just senior employees. And I would love to hear from you, because I know that you are out there in this community on the forefront of getting seniors organized and on the job for whatever needs to be done.
You are very, very kind, and now you've hit my passion button, advocacy. So seniors in Alaska contribute to many of our day-to-day activities through their retirement, and they're still actively working in the community. And they advocate for themselves as well as for others, like I do in the veteran community. My favorite example here in Homer is Clem Tillion. At 95, he still skippers his boat. And he, a longtime fisherman, he served in our legislature for 9 terms, and he very involved in the fishery community, but he still does advocacy. So I run into him on the Hill in Juneau, on all kinds of issues, because he will advocate until the day he dies, until the man draws his last breath.
I have to say, I'm sorry to interrupt you. I heard him. I have to listen to a lot, not have to. I choose to listen to a lot of gavel-to-gavel coverage through Juno. And when Clem Tillion was advocating on a particular issue, someone in the legislature, after it was over, said something like, I mean, who even is that guy? And you could see the entire room just change. I couldn't even hear them. You could just see the shift, like, oh, she has no idea.
So he is kind of my role model on how to be a really good Alaskan. And I think we need more Clems, and we need to find that nugget in each of us that says we can do this. So we have many volunteer activities, including our museums, and we have lots of wonderful museums here. They need volunteers. They need people to donate to them, to attend their events, and to act as docents. So as things come back post-COVID, be there, be present, and help make us the wonderful place we are. And if you stop to the Homer Chamber of Commerce, you'll look at their awesome volunteers, seniors. And these are the people that want to tell a passionate story about our area to the new people that come to our cosmic hamlet by the sea. So there's another opportunity. If you head north in Anchor Point, we have the Senior Center. Those people that are growing vegetables to feed the community are our seniors. They have a wonderful thrift store run by seniors. So stop by there Wednesdays and Saturdays and see what's going on. And all of that money gets returned to the community. So again, we're doing advocacy and we're really working for the community. And all of those are opportunities. If you just want to do things that take a little time, make phone calls. Do mailings, help with funding a project if you have a couple of dollars here and there, bake a pie for an auction, bid on an item at an auction, or just donate money. And most events, and the three of us can testify to this one, we need help setting up events and taking them down. Again, short-term helping out in the community. We advocate at the state level. We have over 100 boards and commissions that need volunteers. It's the best way to advocate and to affect how legislation happens. So, and that's what I do. It's a way that you meet up with other people who want to advance how we move forward as a state. You get involved in creating 5-year plans for seniors, people with disabilities, fisheries. It's great. You mentioned the DMVs. That was a group of senior advocates who got together and said, wait a second, our statutes require one thing and you're asking us to do another. So this wasn't about, politics. This was about what's best for seniors. If you're going to ask us to go online, we need broadband. And until you get broadband in place so that you can get it up the North Fork and out East End Road and into the valleys in Inilchik, then we can't access it. So how can you say to us, you need to get online?
That's a great point. And I'm going to stop you there for a moment. I'm going to come back to everybody, but I think I have Peter Zoyas from Seniors of Alaska on the line. Are you there?
Yes, I am. Good morning, and thank you.
Hey, good morning to you. Can you start with just a little bit about your organization, or it's not your organization, I understand, but you're the director, is that right?
That's correct, thank you.
So introduce
Seniors of Alaska. It's a nonprofit, and it's formed by Alaska seniors and established to represent the senior perspectives and guarantee treatment by municipal, borough, and state agencies. The effort includes oversight of legislative actions and the effect on our senior population. We have a statewide focus and also locally in Homer, the Kenai Peninsula, and then other boroughs throughout the state.
About how many people do you interact with? Who do you, I think we had a conversation earlier that you reach thousands of people a week. Do I have that right? And how?
That's correct. The stats are approximately 7,000 or 8,000 people per week. We use Facebook, web pages, and radio, plus commentary with various senators and representatives, which they share with their constituents.
And how does a person, well, it sounds like you can find Seniors of Alaska on social media, but how? What are some of the ways that people can contact you? And then my next question will be, what are you working on now?
Well, yes, we're on Facebook as Seniors of Alaska, very easy to get to. And every day we post new little tidbits for seniors, things that they can relate to, how Alaska was established, just interesting tidbits and items that seniors would appreciate and sometimes even makes them chuckle a bit. Up till today, recently we worked on the program to retain the 6 DMV offices throughout the state. That was very successful with the help of senators and representatives statewide whom we interacted with. And amazingly, they showed tremendous amount of support for the reversal of the decision by the Department of Administration.
I was not amazed after every senior on this peninsula organized and made their voices heard.
It was great. And it was seniors who did it because it was a senior voice. Now, what we're doing coming up next is there was a recently the vote to go to ranked choice voting. It's a very confusing method of voting, and we're preparing a seminar for seniors that will explain to them just how do you rank choice vote, what are the implications of your vote, and easy ways to understand it.
Great. I know that Coffee Table, this program, is absolutely going to dedicate itself to ranked choice voting and how that happens as well. So we'll be devoting at least an hour to it. But if you would stay in touch with me and KBBI and let me know when your training session is, I'd like to take it. And then the other thing is there anything else other than ranked choice voting that you're working on right now? I want to make sure that you have an opportunity to let people know how they can participate and be a part of Seniors of Alaska.
Yes, there is. To follow up on Nona's conversation, the penetration of broadband in the state of Alaska is only about 70% statewide, and seniors on the Kenai Peninsula only have access to about 60% of broadband. So many of them, as we go forward and we get additional broadband access, won't even have the computer, tablet, or means necessary to access it. So we're working to find ways to get the actual physical computer in the hands of seniors once broadband is made available. So that's one of our big programs.
Oh, that's excellent. I want to thank you. Go ahead. Is there something else that we're leaving out in terms of letting people know about Seniors of Alaska?
Well, they can read more about us on the website, seniorsofalaska.org, on Facebook at Seniors of Alaska. And also, we are a sponsor of the Senior Voice magazine. So they'll see various articles from us there and on select radio stations or newspapers throughout the state. They'll find small articles about Seniors of Alaska, more of what we're doing for you, how we interact with your various state, Senate, and local representatives,
well,
which is the important thing.
Thanks so much. Can you stay on the line for a little while? And I want to circle around.
Sure.
I'm headed back to, let's see if Lisa Morley is still on the line. Lisa, if you're there, I see you still logged in, but you're muted. If you want to unmute your mic, it's just about time for final comments. And the question I was wanting to ask is the report that comes from your listening sessions, is that going to be available and where?
Hi, Kathleen. Yes, it will be available. We'll probably just post it on our website, which is alaskaaging.org. And we'll send it out also through our, we have a listserv that we send out some information. If people want to sign up for that, they can get information on the legislative teleconferences, our quarterly meeting agenda and packet. And I was just looking at, there's a great RFP opportunity that actually local communities and senior centers can apply for. I was going to send that out.
I have to break in for just a moment because it's my role as host to let people know that RFP means request for proposals. Can you, I'm sorry, I just have to, it's kind of my job when I hear an acronym or an abbreviation. Okay, so go ahead. I'd like to hear more about it.
Yeah, so this is through ACL, and it's actually a grant program offering that local communities can apply for, and it's actually to put together like a volunteer workforce for caregivers. And there's examples of other grantees on there and what they have done. Some of the services you can do is like a buddy, a transportation buddy, you know. So if you have a car, then you would, you know, 2 days a week or 1 day a week, you would provide transportation to a senior who has limited transportation, take them to the store or a doctor's appointment or what have you. So other programs are, you know, volunteer companions, that volunteer respite. So, you know, it's definitely something that's bringing the community together and really trying to work, you know, with all our great volunteers that we have in our communities, and just organize them and find ways that we can help seniors be independent.
And I'm going to get back to Joanna Geisler from the Independent Living Center and Karen Kelly from the Homer Senior Center for final comments to see if we left anything off. But I wanted to make sure that after all that you've heard over the course of the hour, Lisa Morley from the Alaska Commission on Aging, if there's anything you feel like that you'd like to add or any final comments you'd like to make.
No, just that I really enjoyed going out and learning from all the seniors and providers on the Kenai Peninsula, and we are going to hopefully be going to other areas of the state, and we'll put these reports out there, and the whole goal is to make Alaska a more senior-friendly state. So, you know, our senior population is growing, and it has always been a very young state.
What is the growth rate for seniors, or the population for seniors in the state? I know that every year there are more seniors.
Right. Right now, the overall population is 142,099, and I think each year it grows. It's the baby boom era, so I think we're growing at about 56% now, which is the highest in the nation. And so seniors currently make up almost 20% of the total population in Alaska.
Oh, thanks for that perspective. I really appreciate it. Now I want to move on to Joanna Geisler from the Independent Living Center, because I want to make sure if there's anything on your list that we didn't get to today, or if you just have any final comments and want to cast a net to let people know how they can become a part of the Independent Living Center as someone who needs services or someone who provides them.
Yeah, I would just say that if anybody has any questions about what services we provide, because I just barely touched on it, or just any questions in general, to give us a call here in Homer. It's 235-7911. And somebody, myself or one of the other staff members, will be more than happy to answer your questions.
Thanks so much. That is Joanna Geisler, Executive Director of the Independent Living Center. Karen Kelly, anything left on your list from Homer Senior Citizens Incorporated?
Well, I just want to add to the senior population.
I'm listening, Kath.
The Homer is the second fastest growing community of seniors, second only to Wasilla. So we are growing exponentially. And seniors do give back to the community through all the volunteering, and as well as our intergenerational program, which you, Kathleen, was a judge for our fashion show. That was the last event
super
we had.
Super fun.
it combines seniors with the younger generation because it shows the value of having seniors as part of your community. And we're going to have another one.
Oh, great. I'll look forward to that. How about Peter Zayas from Seniors of Alaska? Do you have any final comments you'd like to make?
Yes, thank you. One of the big things is we should all understand that on the Kenai Peninsula, seniors are about 30% of the voter population. And if seniors on the peninsula get together and vote, regardless of party affiliation, but to hold their own representatives and senators to the fire for supporting senior issues, senior vaccination programs, and other things, we can get a lot more accomplished collectively, if we toss aside the political, shall we say, side of your voting and vote for the issues that do affect seniors, you'll be able to support these organizations a lot better. The Homer Senior Center and others would get a universal support of seniors versus just having a party line vote on whatever our needs are.
Well, thanks
on
for
another,
that. Oh, go ahead. Go ahead.
Yeah, just another quick note. We did work closely with the state, with Dr. Zink, and with South Peninsula Hospital on the senior vaccination program. And I want to thank everybody, all of the folks online here for their support of that, because we are at over 80% vaccination rate for seniors. And when we first got involved, it was more like 10%, and seniors were afraid to go get vaccinated. We had the good fortune to be commended by Dr. Zink and South Peninsula Hospital for those efforts on behalf of senior vaccinations.
Well, thanks.
So I want to thank all of you who supported us and all of the seniors for going out and getting that first jab, as they say.
Okay, that's Peter Zayas from Seniors of Alaska. Nona Safra, I'd like to give you the last word today because you are the person who reached out and let me know that the listening sessions and things were going on. You were in my first email. So thank you so much for including KBBI. And I was wondering if you have any final comments or anything on that long list of things that seniors contribute to in this community that we didn't get to today.
Well, my final thoughts are about how everybody can get creative and do projects that matter to them. So during the pandemic, I found that the girls that I graduated high school with were all turning 70 this year. So a bunch of septuagenarians, because we now had a word that described us, decided that we would get together on Zoom. Now, our favorite expression became, unmute yourself, girlfriend, and which we can all relate to, right? And we live throughout the world now. So we got to be on somebody's balcony when they were singing in Paris, and on the balcony in Barcelona when they tooted the horns in the harbor, and be part of the recovery, as well as doing Zoom funerals and people that couldn't be there for burials. So we were there through the good and the bad. And we decided that we all had stories to tell, because during the 60s, we had been there through the race riots. Now we have Black Lives Matter. We had been through protests in Washington, and they were back. And we ended up writing a book. But the proceeds will go to funding a scholarship.
What's your book called?
It's called Unmute Yourself, Girlfriend.
Okay.
And then my friends from Iditarod, the Van Zyls and the Schultzes, the iconic people, are doing a cruise called the Iditacruise next year. The proceeds will go to helping the Iditarod. So you can have fun while you do advocacy. You can have fun while you're raising money. And I would advise you to do that. And by the way, the American Legion here is going to need help cleaning the cemetery for Memorial Day. Get out there. You know, there's three cemeteries that need cleaning here.
Thank you. That was my next question, is what's the next thing that people can get involved?
And also, if you want to volunteer on a short-term basis, they're going to be replacing the roof on the American Legion in Homer. They need some help. So, and if you fish, do a fish proxy for a senior or somebody else who can no longer fish for themselves.
And I'm on that. I've already got that one done. That's on my list.
And if you need information on any of these, please contact me through KBBI. I'd be glad to help you.
Sure thing. Thanks. That's Nona Safra, Commission member for the Alaska Commission on Aging. Also, thanks to Lisa Morley, the Executive Director of the Alaska Commission on Aging, Karen Kelly, the Executive Director of Homer Senior Citizens Incorporated, Joanna Geisler, Executive Director of the Independent Living Center, and Peter Zayas from Seniors of Alaska. I'm Kathleen Gustafson, and this has been The Coffee Table,